the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. With Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Monday, December 21st, 2020. The year, the calendar year is almost over.
Oh my goodness.
But not the basketball year.
No, the basketball year is just getting started. It is the eve of the NBA season, and we are so excited to do our annual These Predictions Have Not Been Checked to Be Mathematically Accurate Predictions.
Right. Why would we do that? That sounds crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going in and we're not picking every game winner. We're just going to give you a general idea about how we feel about the teams. And here's the deal. Sometimes it's going to add up to more wins than can exist. Sometimes it's going to add up to more losses than can exist.
I mean, what kind of madman would one, check us on that?
We've been checked. We have been checked. Our friend Darren, who has guested the podcast, has mathematically checked us before to see how close we were. And we were real close. We had done a good job.
What we could have done, I guess, was we could walk day by day through the calendar. Oh, actually, we couldn't do that this year.
No, we can only do some of it.
Yeah, we don't know what the second half of the season is. But in previous seasons, we could have, you know, every 24-hour period said, these are the teams that are going to win on this night, and gradually tabulated it up.
Yeah.
But to what end?
Yeah, I'm not here for that. Also, you know, who knows how correct we're going to be. At least we're going to let you know this is how we feel about these teams.
Yeah, this is really more like a barometer of, is this team better or worse than it was last year?
Yes.
That's the basic question that's being answered. Before we get to the basketball, Casey, big announcement on my side. Now, I know you've made some big announcements recently.
Okay, yes.
This one is just as big. I would say that my announcement is as important as yours.
I cannot wait to hear this announcement, because I am certain that it is going to be earth-shaking. We're going to celebrate so hard.
Okay. If anything, this is probably more important than your announcement.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
In the last year, you have you are married, right?
In the last year, I have gotten married.
I have to get the timeline straight.
Yes, correct.
And also, you guys are taking that to the next level, as they say.
Correct, yes.
But more important than both of those things, this weekend, I was promoted to Bronze 3.
I knew what it was. And so I'm here. I'm ready to celebrate. You're at Bronze 3. The road continues. You're going to get up to Silver.
Yep.
I believe that your skills in the arena are going to prove themselves.
I don't know if you've been checking on my Twitch the last 72 hours, but I have begun. Oh, go ahead.
I get notifications.
Oh, okay.
So I know by the title of what you're streaming, even if I don't have a chance to watch it, I know what you're doing.
So I start now. This is the fourth or fifth day in a row that I start now with 10 minutes of Kovac, the Meta Aim Trainer, which is one of two programs that people use to train their aim.
Yes.
And gosh darn it, if it has not paid off, it really has.
Talk to me about your setup. Are you using a mouse that you feel is good? Are you using a good mouse? What's your deal?
I am using Logitech Pro X wireless mouse.
Okay.
I am using a Logitech Pro X wired headset. I don't need the headset to be wired.
Yeah, of course.
I'm using a keyboard that I enjoy, but actually I might switch it out because it's a little, it's a blue switches. It's very clicky, which I like for writing. I don't love for this podcast when I search things on the web.
And you can't be sneaky like me with my Microsoft modern keyboard with fingerprint ID.
Very quiet. And I don't love it for Twitch streaming. And also, from what I've been reading, actually not that many people actually use clicky keys for gaming. People like a low rise key for faster response. Yes. Most importantly, I near the beginning, over the summer, I replaced my monitor with a 144 FPS monitor.
Welcome to Hertz life, baby. I got two 144 Hertz monitors that I, play my games on, and I'll bet you that you just rip those frames.
Well, the thing is that, first of all, that's not as far as either of us could have gone. There's what, 220 or 240 or something?
I decided to hit what I could yes. go for.
The sweet spot of the price benefit curve, I think, is the 144. The 240s yes. are like quite expensive. But I will say on my, I switched between PC and Mac for stuff. So like this, I'm recording on Mac. Mm-hmm. You can totally see the difference between 144 and 60. When I move a window from my Mac to the other monitor, it like you can absolutely see the difference.
Oh yeah, my Mac is not very powerful that I use for work, and it only lets my 144 hertz monitors go up to 120 hertz. It's a real bummer.
So after 5 days of aim training, I actually have. I have now, and I've been clipping them on my Twitch. My Twitch is Fismo, by the way, FISMO. And you can see I've clipped some things where I did one today that I clipped where I was like, I shot a guy in the head and I wasn't even looking at him. My hand just like.
You went there. That's the training. 10 minutes a day.
I was like looking at the map or something, and then I had headshotted him, and it was crazy. Yeah. So
if you're 10 minutes a day, how many hours are you away from Malcolm Gladwell right now?
Oh. 10,000 minus 50 minutes.
Okay. All right. Good.
But, and also I will say that, I reduced it to 10 minutes because I have a set of drills that specifically a Valorant streamer said, hey, these are the drills we think we should do in Kovac, the meta. That's the name of this trainer. These are the things we should do for in their recommendation. They were like, each one of these drills you should do for 10 minutes for a total of, 100 minutes. A day? No. So I'm doing 10 minutes. That's about as much as this middle-aged man can handle.
every day you choose a different one to do for 10 minutes, or do you do 1 minute of each training?
I do 1 minute of each training.
Okay. Hey, and for Kovacs, the meta, I'm into it.
Some of them are interesting. Some of them are very tedious. But anyway, that's my big news. I was bronze one last week. I got to bronze two middle of the week, and then like in four matches went up to bronze three. Fell down to bronze two just today, back to bronze three.
Congrats. So hey, we're proud of you. All right. You got to take the word of the NBA to the kids in Valorant. Teach these kids that the NBA is cool.
Well, I want to be
all these 11-year-olds, all these 12-year-olds.
As a minor celebrity, I'd like to be like the Gordon Hayward of Valorant. Because he plays League, I think.
He does play League.
Jeremy Lin plays Dota.
Yeah. Everybody else plays Call of Duty. People play Madden. Yes. People play FIFA.
I did download Call of Duty Cold Black Ops Cold War as well.
Oh.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I don't know. What have I been playing recently? Hades. That's it.
Hades.
You know, just rocking my Hades life.
I'm going to be on the Hades this week. We're going to be on. I can do that on Switch?
You can do that on Switch. Yeah, you can download it on Switch.
Is it
it's less expensive on the Epic Game Store during the winter sale, but
okay. You know. Well, I'm thinking like if I want to get Eric to play it with me.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, you absolutely can.
Is it a single player like
yes.
roguelike?
Yes. It absolutely is.
So it's in the world of like Spelunky or
yes.
Oh, cool. Cool. Okay, let's talk NBA.
Woo! Hey, what's up everybody? It's the NBA regular season. We're getting ready to start 72 games. 36 is an even 500 season. You know, you get up to 650 around, you know, I don't know, 45 wins, and you're feeling good. This season is going to be really interesting, and I think that I think we should just get into it. Okay. With the Eastern Conference, and we'll go division by division and start talking to see exactly who you think is going to be where.
Okay. First thing I want to ask is, Casey, are you in a position to very quickly tell me who's been added and who hasn't, or who's been lost from each team?
Yes. Yeah, I can. Okay. I can do that.
Okay. Do we want to go from the bottom? Start it from the bottom now we're here?
Well, we're going to go division by division. So let's start from the bottom of the Atlantic Division, talking about the New York Knicks.
Okay.
Who's in for the New York Knicks this year? We have Obi Toppin, who's coming through, a new rookie, Emmanuel Quickley as well, drafted from Kentucky, a little higher than he was expected to be, but he's had a good preseason. And then, you know, they're still the Knicks. They've got their young talent. They got RJ Barrett. They got Kevin Knox. They got Frank Ntilikina. They got a new coach. Tom Thibodeau is in the garden, ready to run his rookies ragged.
Oh, man.
It doesn't look good for the Knicks, but it doesn't look as soul-crushingly bad as it has in the past.
Right. Their team were bad last year.
They were bad. They were very bad. They did not go to the bubble. They were a team that sat the bubble out because there's no reason to be in the bubble if you've only won 10 games all season.
Right.
It's not good. We are not here for the New York Knicks.
Okay. I'm going to start this off with a hot take. Because I think you're going to think this is high.
Okay.
I'm going to say that out of 72 games,
okay,
I think the New York Knicks are going to win 32 games.
Yes, that's so high. That's make the playoffs high. Like, that's... And
let me tell you why.
Wow. Wow.
Because wow. I think that 3 years from now, 18 months from now, the majority of the players on this team are going to be either run ragged, injured, out of the league. They will have had way too many minutes put on their young bodies. But I think that first impression of a coach like Thibodeau, he will get them in line. He will get them into his system. I don't know if he's still doing his strong side defense kind of system. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, he's going to get them on board, practicing hard for this first season, and they're going to have a jump up, and the next year they're going to win 27 games. That's okay. My prediction.
That sounds like you believe in Big Daddy Thibodeau. I unfortunately do not believe in the New York Knicks. I believe the East has gotten better around them while they have stayed just as bad as they have been.
Gotcha.
I'm putting the New York Knicks at 15 wins.
Oh, they're going to drop from, like, not only drop, but they're going to, like, significantly drop from last year.
That's not super significantly dropping from last year. Well, it's a little bit of a drop, but it's not super significant.
Because last year they won 21 games, right?
Yeah.
And did they, that's partial.
Okay, you're bubble? Right. You're right. That is a significant drop. It's a 10 percentage point drop.
Right.
I'm still doing it. I don't think they're good. I think that without, they had Marcus Morris on their team for a significant portion of the year last year. They don't have him.
They're going to go up.
That guy won them some games last year. Yeah. The big man on the team is Julius Randle, and Julius Randle has not shown that he can win basketball games. So
yeah.
I think that they're going to be a mess offensively. I think they're going to be a mess defensively. I don't think Thibodeau's going to have a good year. I think that the New York Knicks are bad. I think their future is brighter than their present, and I think this will be the year to determine which of their young lottery picks they get to keep and which ones they get to move on from. So
yeah, I think the opposite. I think their future is worse than their. I think I think everyone's going to buy in. Randall's like, this is my chance to redeem myself. They're going to practice hard, and like two of them are going to have career-ending injuries in the last week of the season or something, because that refuses to rest them when he should.
That's a big womp womp for our good friends, the New York Knicks.
Yes. Okay.
Up next, in order of last season, we have the Brooklyn Nets. Nets.
Basically big the same addition. Team as they were last year. Essentially the same roster.
Their big addition is that they get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant back. Other than that, they added Brent Brown from the Detroit Pistons as a bench defensive first guard option.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody to kind of play maybe late fourth quarter minutes with the Kyrie and Kevin and LeVert and Jared Allen kind of situation. That's the idea, is that they needed a defensive bench guy from the guard position. So, they kept Joe Harris. They kept Spencer Dinwiddie. Every single piece that is not Kyrie and Kevin Durant is rumored to be traded for James Harden at some point in the year. So, and they added a new coach. His name is Steve Nash, and Kyrie likes him already, which is a great sign for the harmony of the locker room as Kyrie sages the coaching charts as he walks in the room.
Interesting that Steve Nash and Kyrie. Okay. On a very quick observation, it's like, oh, of course it makes sense that they like each other, because they're both point guards. They are both very ball dominant point guards. And it's interesting to me that they don't really have similar reputations as point guards, because I think Steve Nash has this reputation of he dominates the dribble, but he distorts the defense in a way that he really raises the game of people like Amar'e Stoudemire or Sean Marion. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kyrie Irving also dominates the dribble, but doesn't have that same reputation of like lifting other people's games.
Well, what's the difference here, right? There's one key thing that Steve Nash is famous for doing that Kyrie Irving is not famous for doing. I guess it's probably the other way around, in that Steve Nash is famous for not taking shots. Like, he never shot a ton, right? That was never his game. He was never the, I'm going to shoot 15 shots a game. And Kyrie, if he doesn't get his 15 shots, gets a little pissy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I guess I was going to say, I wonder how close their assist numbers are, but they're in Nash's peak years. He has significantly more assists. Mm-hmm. But there are many, many seasons where Nash and Kyrie's assist totals are similar.
Yeah.
Although, let's look at assist just real quick. Let me look at assist percentage
real quick.
How many games do you think they're going to win while I look this up?
Okay. So my thought for the Brooklyn Nets is I think that they are solidly in the playoffs. And I'm going to put them down for 52 wins.
Okay. By the way, Steve Nash's career assist percentage is 41%, 42%, and Kyrie's is 31%.
That's a significant difference.
Yeah. So I think that I'm just going to put their wins at 50.
And 50.
I think anything less, they will be severely disappointed.
Yeah.
I believe that this is a team that should challenge for, if not win, the one or two seed in the conference.
Okay.
To me, I'm not saying they should get that, but I think that like the hype around this entire project will be a disappointment if they don't make it at least to the conference finals, is my guess.
Yeah, I think that's how they feel about themselves as well. You know, you take the Warriors template, you know, you bring in a new coach and you expect to crush it immediately, and I think they'll be disappointed if they don't do that. And I think the mental health of the team is going to be important, and that means that they have to reassure these guys that they're not going to trade them for James Harden. That's kind of how I feel.
If the mental health of a roster is one of your highest priorities, there's no two better players to get than Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
That's
just stable guys who never cause any drama.
that's the whole point, is we're going for big stability with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Unflappable, these guys, I would say. Don't pay any attention to what public opinion or how they're discussed on social media. I was actually just looking at the Eastern Conference, Casey, and I would say that, first of all, this division is kind of a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that there are six teams in the Eastern Conference that I would not be surprised if they got the number one seed.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I'm into that.
That's good.
That is good. And I know exactly which six teams. It's the four from the Atlantic, and it's the Bucks, and it's the Heat.
Yeah. I mean, would you really be that surprised if any of them ended up being number one?
I'd be surprised at this next team that we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Our Philadelphia 76ers, we have a little bit of addition by subtraction going on here. As you remember, in the last offseason, their big additions were Al Horford and Josh Richardson from Miami in that sign and trade for Jimmy Butler, which created some room for them to sign Al Horford. Al Horford gone, traded for Danny Green to Oklahoma City. And in Josh Richardson's place, Shake Milton's going to get more touches. So they have taken two players who they expected to be long-term members of their core and pivoted completely away from them. They signed Seth Curry. They signed Doc Rivers as their coach. They signed Daryl Morey as their GM, as their president of basketball operations. The GM spot still occupied by former Sixer Elton Brand. This Sixers team It's going to be, can Embiid and Simmons stay healthy? Can they both continue to improve over the course of their seasons? Can this like defensive grinded out team shoot at all in the half court? Tobias Harris, is he going to continue to be a shell of himself, or is he going to like play up to his contract? We don't know. And for that, I think the Philadelphia 76ers are going to win 43 games.
Ooh, I'm going to put them at 48.
Ooh, okay, all right. So you're putting them at the solid contenders for that top spot in the East.
Given the things that you just described, particularly, again, I think Doc Rivers is a great coach for 1 or 2 years. These are all sort of variations of the Larry Brown model of coaching,
yeah,
which is first couple years, everybody loves you. Now he's a player's coach. He's going to get along with them. They're going to have fun. And, you know, maybe 5 years from now, they're going to hate his guts, but I think they're going to play well for him. I don't think adding Morey really has much impact at this point, because he doesn't have any, he will make his impact at deadlines, basically. So I
think Daryl Morey made his impact already in reshaping the roster.
Yeah.
Getting rid of Horford, getting rid of Richardson, bringing in Curry, bringing in Green, and kind of trying to make this team a little bit different. He traded Zaire Smith, who completely almost has fallen out of the league. Now I believe he was waived by the Pistons. Daryl Morey has affected this team already. Okay.
I think if you're Daryl Morey, you just go to Curry and Green and say, look, you guys have a green light to shoot like all the time. You know, yes.
Yeah,
I'm sure he wants,
I want my GM to tell my players what to do. That's how a successful organization works.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's why he brought them in.
And yeah, but you get the coach to say.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm pretty sure Daryl Morey had a pretty strong voice in how the Houston Rockets played offense over the last 5 years.
That's a good point.
So I have him at 48. Speaking of 48, a team that won 48 games last year.
Ooh, our good friends in Boston, the Celtics. Let's see. The Celtics were a team that lost Gordon Hayward. That's their big thing. They brought in Tristan Thompson. Who gives a flying fuck about that? Mm-hmm. And is Cantor also on the team now, back in Boston, in the place where he most recently had pretty good success. I mean, it's another year of the Jason Tatum show, the Jaylen Brown show, the Marcus Smart show, Kemba Walker. Can his knees be the bee's knees? Well, if they were, he'd probably still be in Charlotte. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Buzz, buzz, buzz. I don't know. I think that the Boston Celtics are going to be good because the four players that are the stars of their team, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, that's a good regular season team. Do they have the size to compete? Is Robert Williams, the Time Lord, going to be that guy this year? Is Tice the guy? Is Thompson the guy? I don't know. I think that I kind of expect them to regress a little bit, to be honest with you.
I'm really torn because I think they might regress a little bit. I've always been skeptical about the ceiling for these players on this team. But then I think there's a part of just naturally watching this team and knowing that they have a good coach, and knowing that the players have gotten better, to sort of buy into the incremental progress thing that I'm always arguing against.
Yeah.
With these players, I still think in the end, are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, are they true like number one options in this league, or are they really, really, really good second options?
I think for Tatum, he absolutely is a number one option. I think Brown is a second option.
Okay. I'm going to say that they are going to win. I just think the pedigree of Stevens, their pride and tradition, I think they're going to win 50. I think they're going to win 50 games.
All right. I've got them down for 45.
Again, I think if they lose less than 50, I think it will be a down year for them.
So I've got them at 45. And to me, I think 45 makes sense because 45 in a regular year is going to be 51 wins.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I think, you know, and 50 wins in a regular year in a regular year would be another, you know, 8 wins. That's like,
well, I have them basically winning, you know, 2 more games than they did in this bubble season.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then I think I hear you. I hear why you think this. I think that the top is going to be very competitive.
I guess I'm skeptical about betting against Tatum making another leap because he did make a skill leap from season 2 to 3.
Yeah.
And so if he makes a jump from whatever, like 23 points a game or something to 26, you know, if we're talking second tier MVP discussions for a Tatum.
Yeah.
Then I can see them winning 2 more games. I don't think losing Hayward really loses them that much.
Okay. I think it does. I think it loses them and they'll have to play somebody terrible off the bench instead.
Yeah.
He, you know, he had games where he was really good for them last season. And I think 45 is acceptable. They're going to be in the playoffs. I think they'll be at the top, like the 3 to 6 seed for Boston.
And then finally at the top of this division.
Yeah. You got the Toronto Raptors. They lost Ibaka and they lost Gasol and they brought in Aaron Baines and they brought in Alex Len. That's a straight downgrade at both big man positions for them.
Yeah.
They're hoping for a resurgent season from Pascal Siakam, who kind of shit the bed in the bubble, but had an okay regular season before that. They signed Fred VanVleet to a $20 million per year deal. They still have Kyle Lowry. They just extended OG Anunoby, so he's going to be with the team for a while. Norm Powell still mucking it up off the bench. I think that this is a team that every year I expect them to be better than they are. This year, I expect them to be worse.
Hmm.
I think that they're not going to gel the same way with just VanVleet, Lowry, Siakam, Anunoby. I don't think that core is as strong as cores that they've had in the seasons past.
Uh-huh.
So in my mind, the Toronto Raptors are going to win 40 games.
40? Whoa.
40.
Yeah. I'm going to put them at, I'm going to say 40. Actually, I'm going to put them at 46. Basically, okay. I see this division as beating up on other Eastern Conference divisions.
All right. I see that.
I think that Siakam, I mean, first of all, it doesn't necessarily matter because in terms of regular season, he did make a leap. He did have a better season if we're just looking at regular season. He'd had a much worse playoff than he did the previous year. But I think if he has even the same regular season he had last year, and hopefully he would have a better one, I don't think they're going to drop that many games. Because dropping to, what their equivalent of their bubble season last year would be an equivalent of like 56 game win or something. So, yeah, I'm going to have them be competitive, but not winning this division.
Great. Okay, we're moving on to the Central Division.
Okay.
We're starting with last season's darlings of the Andre Drummond sweepstakes. the Cleveland Cavaliers. They added a young forward, small forward, Isaac Okoro. In the draft, he's going to be a good defensive player, and he'll see if he can play offense in the NBA. And then they didn't do shit. Tristan Thompson is gone.
Yeah.
And Kevin Love is still there. And then they still have the two-headed Colin Sexton, Darius Garland shit stack.
Uh-huh.
And Larry Nance Jr. is still there. God, I hate this team. I don't want to watch a single Cavs game this year. There's nothing.
You
couldn't pay me to watch a Cavs game this year.
Let me ask you over under for Cleveland Cavaliers 20 games.
20 games winning. 20 games.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah, I'm way under on
that. Okay.
That's easy. I mean, they won less than 20 games last year.
Right. But they're going to get like what? Like 10 more games than they had last year. What do you have them at?
I have them at 10 games.
Whoa.
I think this Cleveland Cavaliers team is historically bad. I really, truly do not think they have a chance at all. Like, yeah. They're so bad.
Right. I'm going to put them at 14. So basically the same thoughts that you have. Also, like, zero interest in watching them.
They're not good. They're not good, and it sucks. The Cavs, they have a long history of being really, really bad. I'm not into it. I'm trying to think. Is there anybody who I'm missing that they no. They drafted somebody named Kevin Porter Jr.
last year. That's not Michael's brother?
No, it's not.
Maybe they got their form mixed up and they were like, what? He's available? Draft him.
I mean, unless I'm just like very wrong about Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, this team is going to be ass, like total ass.
I think that even if you were very wrong about Colin Sexton, I think that his a great career result for Colin Sexton would be like reliable starter.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be enough to lift the rest of that roster up. You know, and by the way, the floor for Colin Sexton is a player that everyone hates.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. They look so bad. Okay. Chetty Osman, I guess. I don't know. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here, Cavs. Get out of here. I'm done.
They are the Utah Jazz of the East to KC, Lawrence.
So done talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
All right. Let's talk about the Detroit Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons. Okay. Because here's the thing. The Detroit Pistons are also going to be bad. But they're weird. The Detroit Pistons are a weird, weird team. I don't get how they constructed their roster. Okay, so they added a bunch of players this year. They added half of the Nuggets front court in Mason Plumlee and Jeremy Grant, which is weird. They signed even more forwards. Who did they sign? They signed, what's his name? There was somebody they signed. I got to check their roster. But
by the way, they didn't do this stuff for cheap either. It's not like they like swindled some people for Mason Plumlee or
no. Like, they just signed them. Jahlil Okafor. They signed Ja. They signed Josh Jackson. They signed Rodney Magruder away from the Clippers. Or I guess where did he last play? Yeah, last year he was with the Clippers. Yeah, he was in Miami before that. Okay, so I think that it's weird that they have so much invested in their like forward positions. Like they have Blake Griffin, they have Jeremy Grant, they have Mason Plumlee, they have Ja Okafor. They drafted Isaiah Stewart, who is another forward center. They're a weird team. All right, they got Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin, which if you think 7 years ago, you're like, oh man, now that team is the shit. Well, age gets us all. They drafted a guard from France, Killian Hayes, who wore these really cool thin glasses at the draft.
Oh,
I was like, this guy had style. He looked cool. We'll see if he plays well.
Just as a meta question about the sport in general, but like, are we really gonna let Blake Griffin's career just like end like this?
No, he's gonna get traded this season. There's no way that they don't trade him.
This will be an amend to me as like say what you will about Vince Carter. You know, he never really had like a real moment in the playoffs or hadn't have a strong team to go deep with. But Vince Carter has had just, you know, he's also like, is he technically still in the league? He'll probably still getting a paycheck next year at least, but he didn't retire,
no.
Did he?
No, he is retired. Vince Carter is retired. There was a whole big thing about how he retired.
Okay. So, but he had a long productive career.
Yeah.
And got, and like, Blake Griffin's career, to me, as someone who's similarly dynamic to watch play basketball, I think is much sadder to me.
It might be that it's ending in Detroit.
It might be that it's foundering in Detroit. And it might be that, I just want all improv comedians to do better wherever they are. It just seems like the whole move going to Detroit actually just is like felt very sad to me.
Yeah, it's a bummer for him and his career, it feels like, because, you know, you want to see him in the playoffs and you're not going to. But I think he'll win some games. I think he and Derrick Rose will team up to win some games. I think Jeremy Grant is good. I don't think he's like make the centerpiece of your team good. But, yeah. You know, hey, we'll see if he can step that up. You know, he might be able to.
If Blake Griffin's career, if he had, let's say, three more seasons of like 18, 19 points a game, would you vote for him for the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I think I already am voting for him for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you go to Basketball Reference and you check his Hall of Fame, like, probabilities, he's up there. He's not like super low, and he doesn't have the ring that a lot of people need to really get up there, but he's led the league in a lot of categories a lot of the time.
Right.
So he's up there, and I think he's a Hall of Famer because, you know, even in Detroit, he's averaging 25-8, right?
I think that I think you can make the case that he is. I think that the story about him right now, though, is that it feels like he would be, I guess he would be, to me, he probably has better stats than Mitch Richmond, but it feels like that to me. It feels like a Mitch Richmond type player.
I feel like these are the wilderness years, you know?
No. Maybe these just get forgotten.
Yeah, he's just in the wilderness right now. Right now he's up at 54.8% on the Hall of Fame probability.
Right.
The only active players he is behind, let me check, are...
Am I wrong, though, that there was never... Was there a season that he was seriously considered for MVP?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let me go and check. But the only people that are active that are higher than him on Hall of Fame probability are LeBron, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Steph Curry, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis, Vince Carter, Pau Gasol, Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Rajon Rondo, and Kawhi Leonard.
That's interesting because I don't know that Kyle Lowry is like an automatic Hall of Fame.
Right now they have him at 85%.
Yeah, the ring certainly helps, for sure.
The ring helps. The height, his height helps, apparently. The right. shorter you are, the more likely you are to go in, apparently.
Right, right.
And he's got some good voting on his, like, he's made all NBA. Huh.
And, you know, hey, what checks. Do I know? I just think if you ask someone just sort of just, I think just as a general feeling,
yeah.
would it be like, Kyle Lowry's like a definite Hall of Famer? Be like, what?
Yeah.
But hey. I'm all for that. He'll just prove me, him and Iverson will prove me wrong. Fuck.
It's how short you are, how many championships you have, how many NBA leaderboard points you have, which is 10 points for the first place in any of points, rebounds, assists, minute played, steals, or blocks.
Mm-hmm.
The most win shares you ever had, and your All-Star game selections. That's what Basketball Reference uses to calculate your Hall of Fame probability.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Kyle Lowry.
Boy, you know, when you start your NBA career, there's like the happenstance that has you drafted into the Western or the Eastern Conference is a huge factor in terms of your career legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kyle Lowry drafted into the...
Who did he start with? Did he start with the Rockets?
No.
I can't remember all the teams he's played for.
Kyle Lowry started in Memphis.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I was just saying, if it's based on like all-star selections and a lot of like category, you know,
mm-hmm.
subjective things like that.
Yeah.
If it's even based on like your impact in the playoffs, your chances of being in the playoffs as an Eastern Conference player are just higher.
Yeah.
Your chances of being on a team that gets to the finals is just, it's just, you have a better shot at it in the East.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
So we gotta get some numbers for those Detroit Pistons.
Oh, I think they're going to be a little better than Cavs. I'll give them 18 games.
I got them at 24.
Okay. Sounds good. Boy, this entire division I don't feel like talking about. We got the Chicago Bulls next.
I think the Chicago Bulls are going to be real interesting this year. Right? They finally have a team that doesn't hate their head coach. They've got an exciting young group of players. You got Kobe White. You got Markkanen. You got Wendell Carter Jr. Okay, you got Zach LaVine. I think that they're a fun up-and-coming team. I like the idea of the Chicago Bulls. I don't think the idea of the Chicago Bulls is one that is going to be super successful this year, but I don't hate them like I hate looking at the roster for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Uh-huh.
Makes sense. Like, I hated that. That was not fun. Don't make me do that again.
I like Markkanen for sure. I like LaVine. Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about the Chicago Bulls. I think they'll be fun to watch. I liked watching those little Otto Porter Jr. Is he still on this team?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I feel like he didn't live up to his what they wanted out of him when they acquired him.
Correct.
I'm going to say that they are going to win in the Eastern Conference. I'm going to say they're going to win 30 games.
30 games for the Bulls. So you don't have a lot to say about them, but you are putting them in the like the 10 spot.
Yeah, I think that they are. I can see them in that play-in tournament.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I've still only got them at like 27.
I feel them catching it.
Just I think they're an interesting team. I don't think they're gonna make that play in. But that's just me. I think that there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I guess there's only 4 teams that don't make the play in. So maybe they'd be on the edge.
Yeah.
Indiana Pacers.
No,
I like the Indiana Pacers. Like, could it be that I just really like my guy Domantas Sabonis? Like, yeah, that could be it. But I think that this is going to be a good year for them. I think that they've got a roster that I like. I like Malcolm Brogdon a lot. I like Aaron Holiday as a young guy. I think that the combination of Domantas Sabonis, TJ Warren, Victor Oladipo. I want Victor Oladipo. I guess I'm like rooting for the Pacers is my thing, right?
I actually like the Pacers as an organization. I'm going to give you a little bit of positivity here.
Okay.
And in that, I think that I'm going to mention 2 players that I think are going to have the same effect. I think TJ Warren and Pascal Siakam are going to have upticks in their years because I think they just were not ready for the bubble type environment. TJ Warren had a very good season.
Yeah.
And I would say that he kind of underperformed in the bubble. We kept thinking he'd have this great battle between him and Jimmy Butler, and it didn't really materialize.
Yeah,
it didn't. But I also think the bubble is just very, very strange way for them to conduct themselves, and they have never done it before. And it makes sense to me that, like I said, when the bubble started, a player like LeBron that has a team around him, I don't mean the Lakers, I mean his personal staff, that are older, that have managed businesses, that are like, I can see them being more easily adjusting to like, okay, business is just being conducted completely differently right now, and this is how it's going to happen. And I think players that are just kind of been in the league for a while being like, yeah, you get your bag, you go to the hotel, you bring your PlayStation, you hook it up to the hotel TV, you know, all that. I think that TJ Warren, I would like to see obviously, I would like to see Oladipo return to somewhat what he had before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the Warren Brogdon, I would like to see TJ Warren break the 20 points per game barrier.
Okay.
There's a good chance he will. He was very close.
He was pretty close last year, but I think that there is less of a chance for him to break it this year because of the return of Oladipo. So I think he'll fit in at 17 ish a game. I think this is a Domantas Sabonis breakout year. I think they're going to try to trade Miles Turner. I mean, and I say that knowing that last year he got his first All-Star appearance. I think Sabonis is really good. I'm into the idea of Domantas Sabonis just rampaging through his division. And I think the Indiana Pacers are in competition to play for that top spot in the Central Division.
Would you be surprised if they won the number one seed in the conference?
Yes, I would be surprised if they won the number one seed in the conference.
Okay. How many games you got them winning?
I got them at 45.
I was going to say 44.
Wow.
So I think we're right on the same page. That's essentially what they did last year. They played 73 games last year.
Yeah.
And won 45.
Yeah. I think that I am being cautious in my prediction, but I think they could be better than that.
Okay.
Up next, we got the new and improved Milwaukee Bucks, hungry to prove that last year in the bubble they didn't choke. Just tripped. I think that their addition of Jrue Holiday is good because it is a subtraction of George Hill and Eric Bledsoe. I think that on that team they were not good for the Bucks. I think that their mishap with Bogdanovich over the offseason that cost them a second round pick in the future, just further emptying their draft cash. Really, really bummer. I think he would have been a great fit on that team. I think they are a worse team on paper this year. I think that Giannis is going to go on a rampage. I think he's pissed. I think that he's ready to show people that he's not playing around. I think he's going to go crazy. I think he's going to win his third straight MVP. I'm excited to see it. I could see him not doing it for MVP fatigue. You know, people get that. That's like a real thing. People don't want to give out MVPs to people who've won lots of them.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going to win 54 games.
I agree with all of your reasons, but I'm going to go further than you.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they played 73 games. And they won 56. I think they're going to win 57 games this
year. Wow.
And it's all the reasons that you said, but also we've talked before about, like, I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks are really, I think they're really designed to be this, like, regular season juggernaut.
Okay.
And I think that they will still have something. They are the best team really from the conference, or at least regular season wise, right? Last year with still a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
So, and they have a player who has like an endless motor. So it's perfectly designed. Like, I'm not even convinced they're going to get to the finals this year. But I think for a team that there's a perfect storm of, like, we're focusing up and we're going to try to win as many games as possible every single night.
Yeah.
With a top player being perfectly aligned with that goal, I think they're going to win more regular season games this year than they did last year.
All right. I love it.
Any year that the Milwaukee Bucks, as with this current era, if you ever see a regular season from them when they are just kind of like phoning it in, that's to me like going to be a disastrous year for them. Just the way that they're composed. Especially with the addition of Jrue Holiday, I can't imagine that he's a player like that.
Yeah.
That would be fine. Just like letting it slip. Yeah.
Starting from the bottom in the Southeast Division, we have the much improved, the much changed Atlanta Hawks, who are coming in with a bunch of free agent signings. They signed Danilo Gallinari to shore up their offensive malaise in the half court. They signed Bogdan Bogdanovic, who the Sacramento Kings declined to match. They signed Rajon Rondo, who will gum up their offense and ruin their defense
until the playoffs.
And then they signed Chris Dunn, who couldn't shoot a barn with a bazooka. But is really, really actually very good at defense. So they're a team in flux. They're working on it. They drafted a young project forward. They've got John Collins. They've got who else did they get in the offseason this year? There's one more person they added that I can't remember.
And, of course, they still got Trae Young.
They still got Trae Young, of course. They still got John Collins. They got Clint Capella. They got Kevin Werter. They got DeAndre Hunter. They got Cam Reddish. So, they didn't add anybody else that I thought about. But they're a team that I think, I think that they're going to push for one of those smaller playoff spots, you know, the 8, 9, 10 kind of a zone, because I think Trae Young's just going to continue to get better, play with some real exciting joy de vivre. And I like the Hawks. I think they're an exciting young team this year.
What is their coaching situation?
They are coached by Lloyd Pierce. And you may remember Lloyd Pierce from being the coach of the team last year. That's it. That's all I got.
I'm sorry. Did you say how many games you think they're going to win?
I have not yet.
Okay. I think they're going to they're definitely going to win more than the 20 games that they won last year, in my opinion. I am very excited about this team. I think they had a great offseason for all the reasons that you just mentioned. I think that they are going to be the Eastern Conference jump up and be like, whoa, this is a team that maybe even 2 years from now is going to challenge for the top seed, and then they actually won't. Which means I see them in the like six or seven, unexpected six or seven seed.
Oh.
Six, seven, eight seed. They're going to be in the play. They're going to be in the tournament.
Okay. So that's that's seven or eight. Yeah.
7, 8, 9, 10. Got but it. I think the upper end of this. So I think they're going to win. I actually don't know what number gets me in that range, but I'll say, do you think of like a 34 would get me into that range?
I certainly do. I had already typed in my number for getting them in the lower end of that range. And to me, that's a 33. I think the Atlanta Hawks are going to win 33 games. We are remarkably in sync on this one. Let's see if we can keep it rolling as we talk about the team just a little bit further north. Buzz, Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets.
That's their official name now.
The Buzz. The Buzz. Charlotte Hornets, their big addition this year. Our good friend. Everybody loves him. Even people who hate him. I hate this. Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. They signed him to a deal that just popped right off the page at 4 years, $120 million. He's their max guy now. He's the guy in Charlotte. Yeah. He's got a broken hand. So we'll see when he starts to play this year. They said that it's just a small fracture of his off pinky. So we'll see. They drafted LaMelo Ball. They still have Terry Rozier. They've still got Devontae Graham. They've still got some Zeller. I think it's Tyler. Is it Cody? I can't remember. It's a Zeller.
Fuzzy Zeller.
They drafted Fuzzy Zeller and were so excited to go golfing and say something weirdly racist. What did you think? I was too young for that reference?
too young and innocent.
Aww.
I think that, by the way, LaMelo's been looking pretty fun.
You know what? He looks so fun. That's just a great way to put it. And, a lot of the talk has been, well, he shoots like shit. It's like, yeah, we know he shoots like shit.
Yeah. What family do you think he's from?
He's from the ball. He's big baller brand, baby. Big Although, shooter actually, brand.
By the way, did LiAngelo make the Detroit Pistons roster?
unfortunately, I got to say, he did not. He did not make it.
I think that the Charlotte Hornets, who won 23 games last year out of 65 games, as much as I like the Ball family, and I think it will be fun to league pass some LaMelo Ball action, I think they're going to get worse. I don't think that Gordon Hayward being your number one guy is a good model. Might be crazy in thinking that. I think they're going to win 20 games.
Okay. I think that's a good thing. We didn't talk about this. We have not talked about this. They've got twins on the team.
Okay.
They've got twins on. I didn't know this. I didn't know this until right now because.
Do they have two Zellers?
No. They have two Martins. Look, pull up the roster for the Hornets on NBA.com.
Is this like Kenya Martin Jr. or something or what?
No, dude. This is weird. I did not know that they had this guy on the roster.
Caleb and Cody Martin.
What is the deal with this? I just didn't know that this was a thing.
Well,
then I was like, those guys look this. Did they just put the same guy in? That is so weird.
Wow, we're really close to having an all twins league.
We really could do it.
We can certainly do an all brothers league, I think, right?
I am really thrown by this. Have they just not cut this undrafted Cody Martin guy? What is happening here?
And how would you know if you were cutting the right one?
I mean, Cody's the wrong one to cut. Caleb's the one to cut. What is happening here? What is going on?
I'd say for that reason, should you modify the number of games you think they're going to win?
They've got to win 22. That's it.
Okay, because you were going to have them at...
I was going to have them at like 18 or something, but they have to win 22 now because they have... a pair of twins on the roster. That's 22. That's numerology.
That makes as much sense as anything. I mean, you know, like if numerology is good enough for Taylor Swift, it's good enough for the Rule of Threes podcast.
I mean, it's in our name.
Yeah, it is the rule of numbers. Both born on September 28th, 1995. I was hoping they'd be a twin combo that was born across midnight.
Yeah, that's a very, very prominent kind of twin thing.
Yeah.
What is going on? I just this is wild.
I would love for Casey to be like one of the first people to ever encounter the concept of identical twins and just not be able to understand it.
No, I mean I get what twins are, but what I don't get is why I've never heard of this before.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm yeah. All right, this is fine. This is wild.
All right.
Threw me for a loop. Our next team is the Washington Wizards. Big additions to the team this year include Russell Westbrook, traded for John Wall in a 1-on-1, 1-2-1 even trade.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in the worst Lopez, the goofy one, Robin Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Denny Avidia, which he's the young Israeli prospect. People think he'll be a good defensive and slashing kind of guy. And yeah, that's the Washington Wizards in their offseason.
I think they're going to be obvious. I mean, maybe this is obvious, but I think they're going to be better.
Yeah.
Because I think whatever we say about Russell Westbrook, he's better than a John Wall that's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a safe comparison to make, that Russell Westbrook is better than the absence of a player.
I agree. I'm with you 100% on that.
I'm going to give these guys 38 games.
Wow. I'm going to give them exactly 36 because... Okay. I don't think that they're good.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they're good, but...
But I'm excited to see them. I think they're going to be in the mix for that that low-tier... what's it called? You said 37?
Yeah. No, for the Wizards? No, I said 30. I think I said 38.
You said 38.
How do you think that Westbrook and Beal are going to play together?
I think they're going to play fine. I think Westbrook is way better at playing unselfishly when he feels like he's got something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does. I think he's pissed. And I think he's ready to prove something. He's rocking and rolling. He's ready to go. I'm into it.
All right. Next, we have the Orlando Magic. If you had asked me off the top of my head where they finished in the division last season, I would not have thought that they finished second in this division.
Well, yeah, this was the worst division in basketball last year.
Yes. You know, and they did pretty well. I remember they had some pretty breakout games from Vucevic.
Vucevic, man, the guy's good.
Yeah.
And I've got lots of opinions about the Orlando Magic. Unfortunately, none of them are good. I don't think that they're going to be a good team this year. I think that the Orlando Magic, who signed Markelle Fultz and signed Jonathan Isaac to extensions today, I don't think that they're going to be a good team. I think that they're going to be that 10th spot, and I think they're going to lose in the play-in games. I've got them at 30 games.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, well, because I wasn't sure how much I think they're actually going to drop from last year. But they played a full, bubble schedule last year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them 31.
Oh, okay. All right.
31 for just Vucevic will win one game by himself. Just to get him over that hump.
All right. So you have them beating out the you have them in 11th place in the division.
Yeah, I mean, I like Vucevic a lot. I feel like this year there are teams where I look at them and it's difficult for me to get excited about watching any of the players.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I kind of feel like they're of course, one of these days Markelle Fultz is going to break out and become an all-star.
Oh yeah. Now that's the kind of gumption I like to hear on that's a take, baby.
Now we have I guess the best team in the East last year.
The best team in the playoffs. I think they got hot. I think that's how I feel about them. I don't feel as strongly about them as I think anybody else does. So
I think that they got hot. I think that the bubble again was very compatible with a Spoelstra Pat Riley way of thinking, very compatible with a we're just about basketball kind of team.
Yeah.
And also, you know, probably doesn't hurt that they were in their home state. Like, you know, they were really not that far from, you know, if somebody needed to bring some salsa from Tortilla Flats up to their hotel or get them some, I don't know Miami things. Anyway, it's the Miami Heat.
I don't know Miami. It's the Miami Heat. Their additions this year are Precious Achiuwa. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie from Memphis.
What pick was he?
He was like the third, like pretty 20, high, right? 20, no, like 20 something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. But first round. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He was a first round pick for them. But other than that, Avery Bradley joined the team. Mo Harkless joined the team. But they lost Jay Crowder. They lost Jay Crowder.
Uh huh.
And, you know, I guess they're hoping for more goodness from Tyler Hero, from Duncan Robinson, from Kendrick Nunn to kind of, you know, rebound a little bit from what he'd done in the bubble. More good, fun stuff from Goran Dragic and our good friend Bam Adebayo. They signed Myers Leonard to another deal in the offseason, a pretty big one too. So, you know, I guess hype plays, but I don't know. I don't think that this is a regular season team. I think that they got hot and I don't like their chances to be like real great this year. So I'm going to put them at 41 games.
Ooh, I'm going to push a little bit in the other direction. I'm going to put them at 50 games.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that they are, if I was a Miami Heat fan, this is what I would hope. I would hope that the finals run puts some pride in this team as being like the defending Eastern Conference champions and that you get some pretty good progress from Nunn, Hero, Robinson. Because when you were just listing off the names, like Butler, Nunn, Robinson, Hero, Dragic, just based on paper, they're just better than a lot of Eastern Conference teams. That's what I think. I think the finals run will give them an injection of we deserve to be in this place and now we need to defend it. And I think that being in that position of we need to protect our territory, I think we'll play right into a Riley Butler type mentality.
That's fair. All right. I can get behind that. Okay.
Which division in the West do you want to start with?
Well, first I want to go over our Eastern Conference.
What our seeds are like?
Yes, exactly. So for our Eastern Conference, we both have the Milwaukee Bucks as the one seed. Mm-hmm. I've got the Brooklyn Nets as the two seed. Mm-hmm. You, in a tie in the two seed, you have Boston, Brooklyn, and Miami.
Yeah, I think when we were going over the Boston-Brooklyn division in my mind, I think Brooklyn's actually going to win that division. I think Brooklyn is a shade better. And so if it ends up being them 51 or they win some tiebreaker, I think.
Do you want to bump them above 50?
I'll give them 51, the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, all right. We're doing it. 51.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are now above that. They're the two seed. So I've got Boston and Indiana tied at 45 wins for the three seed. And you've got Boston and Miami tied at 50 wins for the three seed.
Cool.
We've both got the Philadelphia 76ers in the five spot.
Okay.
I've got them at 43. You got them at 48 wins. Then you've got the Toronto Raptors in the sixth spot. My sixth spot is the Miami Heat. The Raptors are my seventh. My eighth are the Wizards. My ninth are the Hawks. And my tenth are the Magic.
Okay.
Your seventh seed, I guess, is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Your seventh seed is the Pacers.
Uh-huh.
Your eighth seed is the Wizards. Uh-huh. Your ninth seed is the Hawks. And your tenth seed is the Knicks.
Hey, that's the hot take of the day.
Yeah. So the big difference in our things is that we all hate the Cleveland Cavaliers so much that they're our last seed. But the teams that I have missing the playoffs, I guess there are five of them, are the Bulls, the Pistons, the Hornets, the Knicks, and the Cavs. And you have the Magic, the Bulls, the Pistons, the Hornets, and the Cavs.
Wow. Boy, Knicks, don't fail me with this pick.
I have 517 wins and you have 561 wins.
Yeah. So, the Western Conference is going to suck this year. Yeah, I've got to really compensate with my Western Conference picks. I have the Pelican. Well, it's also much harder. You know, I think that like it or not, as people who watch the NBA for a long time, you start to develop, intuitive senses of what like a 60 win team is.
Yeah.
And it's not only thrown off by the fact that this season may or may not be 72 games, but also last season was not a complete season. So my idea of what a 50 win team is I have no sense of what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I think in previous seasons, there's years where you're just like, oh, this feels like a 45 win team, you know?
Yeah.
Which division you want to start with?
Well, I think we should probably do a little sign-off because we should split this into two.
Yeah, we'll split it into two.
Just so you know, coming up next on your podcast here is going to be our Western Conference predictions. We're going to get into it real quick, but we went long on the Eastern Conference, and we're going to go long on the Western Conference. We got to roll.
These teams deserve their full due.
Yes, they do.
In my opinion, we'll put them out. We'll put them out together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it's a two-parter for you.
One is for going to work and one is for coming back if your commute is 90 minutes long.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess if you're going out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
My commute is 15 seconds. Hop out of bed, brush my teeth, and head to the other room.